The message you're about to listen to is brought to you by Pastor Henry Onyedikachi.
If we don't preach the gospel, we cannot expel darkness from the hearts of men. Woe is me if I preach not the gospel. I have a commitment. Necessity is laid on me. I have an assignment to preach the gospel.
Stay blessed.
God. Say my eyes are open. Say the eyes of my understanding is enlightened. Say I see clearly what God has done in Christ and I am not confused. Glory to God. You will be seated for now. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I want to welcome you to church this evening. This is the way, amen? Are you ready? So I want to welcome everybody. Okay. People that traveled from everywhere. Thank God for granting you journey mercies, amen? And other people who are still on their way, we know they will get there safely. We are about to have an amazing weekend. Amen. Let me look to your left and to your right and welcome your neighbor to church with a high five. Come on, give the person a high five. Do you know the person's name? Maybe you find out what is your name. How are you doing? Glory to God. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 verse 9. He said, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from... Come on. What is the punishment called everlasting destruction? It means to be banished from God's presence forever. In fact, people say, what's hell? Is hell fire? Is hell water? Let me tell you, the most amazing thing about hell is the fact that you'll be removed from God's presence forever. Another translation of this verse 9. Another translation. Glory to God. Glory to God. He said they will be punished with eternal destruction. What is that eternal destruction? Forever separated from the Lord and from his glorious power. That's eternal death. Do you follow to this point? What is eternal death? Forever being separated. So, it is your body separated from your spirit. Now, spiritual death is you are separated from God. But eternal death, you are forever. Message said, eternal exile from the presence of the master. Amen? Eternal exile. And that's eternal death. That's eternal death. That is eternal death. And so, the order is spiritual death or sin, spiritual death. After spiritual death, there is physical death. Then after physical death, there will be eternal death for guys that are not born again. Amen? So, without sin, there will be no spiritual death, hence there would not have been any physical or eternal death. So people still die. So somebody will ask me, so if it is so, why is it that believers still die physically after they are born again? I thought when they should get born again, they shouldn't die physically again. Well, the reason people still die physically, even after they are saved, okay, is because their flesh is still subject to sin. That's the reason. Because they are still under this flesh, is still subject to sin. By the time God made Adam, this flesh had not committed anything. I get to the point. And so because of that, Adam couldn't die. But until he now sinned, there was none death. So man was subject to these three deaths because of sin. Look at 1 Corinthians 15, 56. Look at it again. Man was subject to physical death. Man was subject to spiritual death. Man was subject to eternal death because of sin. The sting of death is sin. So the reason man could die, or the reason spiritual death came, was because man sinned. So when Jesus came, somebody say Jesus came. When Jesus came, he took on death. Hebrews 2 verse 9. He took on death. Glory to God. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he by the grace of God should test what? Death for how many men? Every man. So what Jesus did was, when he came, was to test death. us. So what do we ask? We'll say, okay, what kind of death did Jesus die for us? Which one? Huh? Let me ask again. What death did Jesus die for us? Huh? Huh? Anything you answer is correct. Just answer. Amen. Amen. Okay, let's start from somewhere. Do we all agree that Jesus died physically? Do you agree? At least you saw that one in Passion of Christ. So let's give that somewhere. 2 Corinthians 5 verse 21. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 21. So we all agree Jesus died physically. For he had made him to be sin for us. So when Jesus, can we say that he was made sin for us? Can we say by Jesus being made sin for us, he also died spiritually? Is that correct? So Jesus died physically, he died spiritually. I can also tell you, he died eternally. Everybody believes that one. That's that part in your creed where you say, and he descended into... So in Jesus dying on the cross, what was happening there was beyond somebody just closing his eyes and shouting, it is finished. It was someone dying physically, dying spiritually because he took on our sin, and dying eternally. So these three stuffs were compressed into 3 days, and he suffered. The Bible said it was for us. Are you following me? He tasted death, spiritual death for us, physical death. That's why I tell people, what Jesus did on the cross was beyond just dying physically. And when we talk about resurrection, it's beyond just rising physically. Say, he died and rose. It's beyond that. It's beyond dying. And if all you are celebrating, I say this all the time, is that Jesus rose physically. A lot of people have risen from the dead. Don't you think so? Lazarus has risen from the dead. What was happening here was a more significant thing. He died physically. He died spiritually. So before he even rose physically from the dead, he rose from spiritual death. Let me show you. Colossians 2 verse 13. Colossians 2 verse 13. Hallelujah. And you, who is he talking about? Who is he talking about? You. Say me is you. Being dead in your sins and uncircumcision of your flesh. What death is he talking about here? When he said you are dead in sin, what death is that? What death is that? Spiritual death. Is that correct? Is that correct? Did you follow to this point? You've been dead in sin and the uncircumcision of your flesh. That's spiritual death. He now said, had he quickened together with him? Together. Together. What does it mean? What does the word quicken mean? It means he quickened you from that spiritual death, right? He raised us from spiritual death. But the key word here is together with him. The point is that it wasn't just we that rose from spiritual death. Jesus also rose. We are quickened together. If we are quickened together with him, it means he also died spiritually. Do you get the logic? Put up another translation of this. Maybe an NLT or so. Hallelujah. He said, you were dead because of your sins. And because your sinful nature was not yet got away. So we are dead in sin. Then God made you alive with... If he raised us from the dead, he means Jesus was also dead spiritually. Let me see how we follow to this point. So Jesus was not just raised from physical death. Jesus was raised also from spiritual death. So he tested the three kinds of death for us and rose from the three of them. Ephesians chapter 4 verse 9. Did Jesus test eternal death? Let's find out. He said, not now that he ascended, what is it? But that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth. When he rose from the dead, he won victory over death. Every kind of death. Put up another translation of this. King James said he abolished death. Message said, but we know it now. Since the appearance of our Savior, nothing could be plainer. Death defeated. Say death defeated. Say death defeated. Glory to God. Death. So Jesus defeated death. He conquered death. He won victory over death. He won victory over death. And as he said, and now he has made all of this plain to us by the power of Christ Jesus our Savior. He broke the power of death. He broke the power of death and made the way to life and immortality through the good news. It wasn't just about physical death. It was every kind of death there is. The guy went down and in 3 days came out triumphant over all these deaths. Now, Isaiah 25 verse 8. Isaiah 25 verse 8. He says, he will swallow up death in victory. That's when Isaiah was prophesying about it. That a time is going to come that death will be swallowed up in victory. And the Lord God will wipe away tears from all their eyes. I'm coming to this shortly. He will swallow up death in victory. Can I announce to you, death has been swallowed up in victory. It's been swallowed up. Jesus won victory over death. Jesus won the victory over death. You remember that's Hebrews 2 verse 14. Hebrews 2 verse 14. He tested death for every man. He said, for as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death. So what Jesus did in 3 days, he challenged death. Because death was the consequence of whatever Adam did. So he challenged death, eyeball to eyeball, and he got victory over death. So the day Jesus rose from the dead, he was beyond somebody walking out from the grave. He was someone coming out triumphant over something that has ravaged the world for more than 4,000 years and counting. Remember Romans chapter 12? He said that sin came, and then through man or one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and death passed upon all men. So death has held man captive for a very long time. So it came, he had to triumph. He had to conquer over spiritual death. Over spiritual death. I'll touch this tomorrow, but let me just mention it. Now, remember, what caused this death again? Sin. So when he triumphed over spiritual death, he also triumphed over sin. I'll look at that tomorrow morning. Hallelujah. Go back to 1 Corinthians 15 verse 57. Let's look at it again. 15 verse 57. Maybe you put up amplified so that you see what I just said became, become very clear. Hallelujah. He said, but thanks be to God who gives us the victory, making us conquerors. Hallelujah. He gives us the victory and he has made us conquerors. So now where are we going with all this? Now, through him, through our Lord Jesus Christ. So when the Bible says, go back to King James, sorry. When it says through him, King James, when it says through our Lord Jesus Christ, he has given us through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, we refer to through his victory over death. So through the victory that Jesus has won over death, we also have won victory over death. So the believer in Christ Jesus, through Jesus' own victory, is now victorious over spiritual death. Also over eternal death, and even over physical death. So what it means is that since Jesus has triumphed over physical, spiritual death and has won that victory for us, it means no believer can ever be subject to spiritual death again. It means no believer can ever die spiritually again. Ephesians 2 verse 1. Ephesians 2 verse 1. And you, who is he talking about? Who is he talking about? You had he quickened, who we are dead in trespasses and sins. So we were dead. You see the same story I told. You are dead. You are dead in sin. We are dead in sin. And he quickened us. Continue. You are dead in spiritual death. Wherein in time past, he's explaining spiritual death here. In time past, you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirits that now walketh in the children of disobedience. We are walking in a certain way. Verse 3. Among whom also we all had our conversation in time past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and we are by nature the children of wrath, even as others. Now, verse 4, everybody, let's do it together. Somebody say, but God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love, wherewith he loved us. Verse 5, everybody. Even when we were dead in sin, had weakened us together. So, in other words,
other words, we are dead in sin. But when Christ was quickened from spiritual death, we were also quickened with him. So when Jesus won victory over spiritual death, I also won victory over spiritual death. His victory was my victory. His triumph was my triumph. I get the point. The day he conquered spiritual death, I also conquered spiritual death, because the quickening was together. Now verse 6. Quickened spiritual death, by grace are you saved? I had raised us up together and made us sit together. So he died the kind of death we were in. We were in spirit. Now see the process. We were in spiritual death. He came, went to the cross, died spiritually too. So when he was being quickened, he did not just die spiritually because he didn't sin. So he died our spiritual death. Remember, what sin was put on him? So he took our spiritual death, identified with us, that all of us now died together. He has won the victory. Stop. Can I say, I have won the victory? Can I? Because his victory is my victory. Think about it. Jesus never needed to win over spiritual death. He was never subject to it. You get the point. He became subject to it because of us. So, the same way death could not hold him down, death could not also hold me down. Spiritual death has lost me forever. Eternal death has lost me forever. I can never die spiritually. So when people look at themselves and say, we know, they come to church and say, we know we are all sinners. I say, no. Speak for yourself. This guy right here is not a sinner. Are we all sinners? When he won, I won. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Some of you think that when it's time for us to go to heaven or go to hell, we're just going to get there and hell will be dragging you. Hell knows you. I used to tell you guys, I've been to hell. Listen carefully. I have been to hell. You say, wow, you had a vision of hell. That was not necessary. I went to hell. So when did you go to hell? When did Jesus sin? He didn't sin. He became sin. Do you understand it? So when did he go to hell? He became sin. He took my sin. Identified with me. So when he descended into hell, we all went now. When he won, we won. That's why you know for the Bible. I'll talk about that later. The Bible calls us more than conquerors. That's a very strong statement. More than conquerors. More than conquerors. Not a conqueror. More than conquerors. More than conquerors. Because we didn't have to conquer. He conquered for us. So we are more than conquerors. Are you following me, guys? So, spiritual death, I just want to introduce you this night. Death, you see, spiritual death, going to hell, being a sinner, whatever, has no power over any believer. The last of my kind that went to hell came out victorious. If another of my kind goes there, he will also come out victorious. And that is an eternal truth that you should never get tired of. I can never go to hell. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So we are no longer, we can never be subject to spiritual death. Came out. Let me explain to you what I say. What you are saying is, I carried fire extinguisher into fire. And I came out of fire with quench. You see, eternal destruction is to be banished from God's presence. Our life is to carry God's presence. You cannot carry eternal life into hell and hell will still remain hell. I know what I'm saying. I want you to settle in your mind. That's why there is a way you see people like God. They say death. Say, what if you die now? If you die now, where will you spend the eternity? You don't know. Where have I been spending my life on earth yet? In him I live. In him I move. In whom I have my being. What kind of question is that? What kind of question is that? Where will I spend my eternity? Where have I been spending my life here? Where I am now is where I will be. Say amen. We can't die eternally. I told you, don't get tired of what I'm saying now. Don't ever get tired of it. The fact that Jesus won victory over spiritual death, he won victory over eternal death, and that victory became our victory. So we can boldly hit our chest and say, we can't die spiritually. We can't die eternally. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I say glory to God. The guys in the Bible were never afraid of dying spiritually or dying eternally. They were never afraid of going to hell. They were never. Even when John had a revelation in the whole book of John, when he was done, he got up, he completed the letter by saying, come Lord Jesus. He was begging Jesus, please come. It's not, Father, wait, we are not ready. He said, come. So, are you rapturable? Let me ask these pastors. Are you rapturable? Are you rapturable? Glory. He said, this is why I don't like coming to this kind of program. Amen. We are meant to be preparing men for eternity. That's what we are doing right here. There is a way to wait. Philippians 3 verse 20. Philippians 3 verse 20. Put up NLT. Okay, let's talk about King James. For our conversation is in heaven. From whence also? So we are looking for the coming of Jesus, but we are looking from somewhere. Do you understand? From where we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 21, everybody. 1, 2, 3, go. When our body will be changed. But first of all, our conversation as we are talking now is in heaven. We are waiting from there. Do you understand? Should I say it again? Go back to that verse. NLT said, we are citizens of heaven where the Lord Jesus Christ lives, and we are eagerly. Put up amplified. We wait for him to return. We are citizens of heaven. We are not going to be, but we are citizens of the states. Commonwealth, homeland, which is in heaven, and from it, from it, that's, do you understand? We earnestly and patiently await. So are you waiting for Jesus to return? Yes. Where are you waiting from? From heaven. So, where will you spend your eternity? Where have been all the while? Eternity is a very simple mass to calculate. You think when Jesus will come, you now say, if you are a rapturable, raise up your hand. He already knows. Glory to God. You cannot die eternally again. You cannot die eternally again. When he won the victory, it was your victory. When he won over death, it was your victory. When he won over eternal death, it was your victory. We cannot die eternally again. We cannot die spiritually again. When he won, I won. Woo! To know you can't die eternally again. You know, don't see believers living in fear of death, fear of going to hell, fear of what are you afraid of? That's 4 verse 8.
Glory to God.
Wherefore he said, when he ascended up on high,
who is he talking about here?
Jesus, right? He led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. So, when he talks about when he ascended, he's talking about when he rose from the dead. He led captivity captives. What does this mean? What does this mean? He led captivity captive. When he ascended, when he rose from the dead, he led captivity. What about NLT of this? NLT of this. He led captivity. That is why the scripture says, when he ascended to the heights, he led a crowd of captives and gave gifts to his people. So look at what happened. And then he now leads his captive.
You understand?
He led captivity. So he took a crowd of captives.
Go back to verse 8 with NLT.
When he ascended, he led a crowd of captives. So he went for a battle. That battle was against spiritual death. And then he took captive everybody that was once captive
under spiritual death, under spiritual death, right?
Then he now led them captive. In other words, he took their captives. And okay, normally how it happens is, if I go to fight a battle and then I win, I'm supposed to, you know, lead the guys I've captured from the battle, right? And take them as my slaves. And then, it wasn't just that he captured those slaves. He didn't capture those slaves to become his slaves. He become his born children. Do you understand? So he now led them. So when he was coming back from the battle, that's what he's describing after he rose from the dead. He led captivity. Do you understand it? The guys he has captured from the battle, who are now his slaves, or who are now his freeborn children. Is that correct? Now led them in a triumphant procession. He led captivity. It's still going on. I'll touch that next tomorrow night. That procession is still going on. So when Jesus rose from the dead, he led us. So it's just like when he came out from the grave, he started walking. All of us that had been freed from spiritual death, his trophies that he won, he led us. And we were showing off. Look at how Message put it. Message. He said, and I got it. So I got it. I got it. Thank God. In the Messiah. In Christ. Showing off. You have to show off the trophies that you won. What was the trophy that he won? You now. You are the one he liberated from the kingdom of darkness and translated it. Do you get the point? So, yeah. Was a procession, a triumphal procession, a parade, a victory parade. He was going, showing forth as the victor. We were following him as men that have won too, and men that have been won by him. And so Jesus had his victory procession. We were the ones he was showcasing. But now, we're not just his prisoners, guys. We are his sons. In a sense, we are his servants too. I'll touch that later, maybe on Saturday night. In a sense, we're also his prisoners. In a sense. Touch that letter. He said, thanks be to God who in Christ always leads us in triumph as trophies of Christ's victory. So when Jesus was on the dead, he was showcasing his trophy. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? He's now showing, it doesn't matter what you believe, he's now showing everybody the trophy that he has won. Do you understand? Glory to God. The way he won, we won. Let me show you. Colossians 2 verse 13. Colossians 2 verse 13. Hallelujah. And you, who is he talking about?
Who is he talking about?
You. Say me. Me is you. Being dead in your sins and uncircumcision of your flesh. What death is he talking about here? When he said you are dead in sin, what death is that? What death is that?
Spiritual death. Is that correct? Is that correct? Did you follow to this point?
You being dead in sin and the uncircumcision of your flesh. That's spiritual death. He now said, have you quickened together with him? Together. What does he mean? What does the word quicken mean? It means he quickened you from that spiritual death, right? He raised us from spiritual death. But the key word here is together with him. The point is that it wasn't just we that rose from spiritual death. Jesus also rose. We are quickened together. If we are quickened together with him, it means he also died spiritually. Do you get the logic? Put up another translation of this. Maybe NLT also. Hallelujah. He said, you were dead because of your sins. And because your sinful nature was not yet cut away. So we are dead in sin. Then God made you alive with. If he raised us from the dead, he means Jesus was also dead spiritually. Let me see how we follow to this point. So Jesus was not just raised from physical death. Jesus was raised also from spiritual death. So he tested the three kinds of death for us and rose from the three of them. Ephesians chapter 4 verse 9. Did Jesus test eternal death? Let's find out. He said, not now that he ascended, what is it? But that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth. So the guy died spiritually on the cross when he was made sin. He died physically when he closed his eyes. He died eternally when he descended. Do you understand the point? So when we talk about resurrection, it was about him coming out first from eternal death, from spiritual death, and then from physical death.
Do you follow to this point?
That's resurrection. That's resurrection. So when Jesus rose from the dead, he triumphed over death. He got victory over death. Over physical death, over spiritual death, over eternal death. Acts 2 verse 24. Acts 2 verse 24. He got victory over death, over all these deaths. Whom God has raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holding of it. Hallelujah. He couldn't, death could not hold him down. You know that song we do? For death could not hold Jesus captive. You know that song? So he couldn't be held down by death. So he triumphed over them. He triumphed over death. 2 Timothy 1 verse 10. 2 Timothy 1 verse 10. He triumphed over death. But is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death. So when he rose from the dead, he abolished death. So after, the first thing I'd like you to see this evening is that Jesus, by his resurrection, won victory over death. Are you following me? He won victory. He won victory. He won victory. Not this song that says, hallelujah. Know that song?
You have won the victory.
Sing hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
You've won it all for me. You are the reason, King.
You are the reason.
victory. Let me everybody say,
I have won the victory.
Andalaba, andalaba, no brande, tani, ando de.
Hallelujah.
You have won it all for me. Death will not hold you down.
Death will not hold you down.
Ando le na prati kona te ya de.
You are the risen King.
Seated in majesty.
Seated in majesty.
You are the risen King.
You are the
about physical death. When you sing that song, it wasn't just that he came out from the grave. If that's what we are singing, we can also sing it for Lazarus. Don't you think so? Well, we can't sing that song for Lazarus. So. Even if we go for mission and raise 10 dead people, we can't sing that song for them. When he rose from the dead, he won victory over death. Every kind of death. Put up another translation of this. King James said he abolished death. Message said, but we know it now. Since the appearance of our Savior, nothing could be plainer. Death defeated. Say, death defeated. Say, death defeated. Glory to God. Death. So, Jesus defeated death. He conquered death. He won victory over death. He won victory over death. And NLT said, and now he has made all of this plain to us by the power of Christ Jesus our Savior. He broke the power of death. He broke the power of death. And he made them go to life and immortality through the good news. So it wasn't just about physical death. It was every kind of death there is. The guy went down and in 3 days came out triumphant over all these deaths. Now, Isaiah 25 verse 8. Isaiah 25 verse 8. He says, he will swallow up death in victory. That's when Isaiah was prophesying about it. That a time is going to come that death will be swallowed up in victory. And the Lord God will wipe away tears from all their eyes. I'm coming to this shortly. He will swallow up death in victory. Can I announce to you, death has been swallowed up in victory. It's been swallowed up. Jesus won victory over death. Jesus won the victory over death. You remember that's Hebrews 2 verse 14. Hebrews 2 verse 14. He tested death for every man. He said, for as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death. So what was it in 3 days? He challenged death. Because death was the consequence of whatever Adam did. So he challenged death eyeball to eyeball. And he got victory over death. So the day Jesus rose from the dead, it was beyond somebody walking out from the grave. It was someone coming out triumphant over something that has ravaged the world for more than 4,000 years and counting. Remember Romans verse 12? He said that sin came. And then through one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and death passed upon all men. So death has held man captive for a very long time. So when Jesus came, he had to triumph, he had to conquer over spiritual death. I'll touch this tomorrow, but let me just mention it. Now remember, what caused this death again? Sin. So when he triumphed over spiritual death, he also triumphed over sin. I'll look at that tomorrow morning. Hallelujah. Go back to 1 Corinthians 15 verse 57. Let's look at it again. 15 verse 57. Maybe you put up amplified so that you see what I just said become very clear. Hallelujah. He said, but thanks be to God, he gives us the victory, making us conquerors. Hallelujah. He gives us the victory and he has made us conquerors. So now where are we going with all this? Now, through him, through our Lord Jesus Christ. So when the Bible says, go back to King James, sorry. When it says through him, he
King James? When it says through our Lord Jesus Christ, he has given us through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, we refer to through his victory over death. So through the victory that Jesus has won over death, we also have won victory over death. So the believer in Christ Jesus, through Jesus' own victory, is now victorious over spiritual death, also over eternal death, and even over physical death. We might talk to Jesus once later. So what it means is that since Jesus has triumphed over spiritual death and has won that victory for us, it means no believer can ever be subject to spiritual death again. It means no believer can ever die spiritually again. Ephesians 2 verse 1. Ephesians 2 verse 1. And you, who is he talking about? Who is he talking about? You, had he quickened, who we are dead in trespasses and sins. So we are dead. You see the same story I told. You are dead. You are dead in sin. We are dead in sin. And he quickened us. Continue. You are dead in spiritual death. Wherein in time past, he's explaining spiritual death here. In time past, you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirits that now walketh in the children of disobedience. We are walking in a certain way. Verse 3. Among whom also we all had our conversation in time past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and we are by nature the children of wrath, even as others. Now verse 4, everybody, let's do it together. Somebody say, but God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us. Verse 5, everybody. Even when we were dead in sin, had weakened us together. So in other words, we are dead in sin. But when Christ was weakened from spiritual death, we were also quickened with him. So when Jesus won victory over spiritual death, I also won victory over spiritual death. His victory was my victory. His triumph was my triumph. I get the point. The day he conquered spiritual death, I also conquered spiritual death, because the quickening was together. Now verse 6. Because we had, by grace are you saved, and had raised us up together and made us sit together. So he died the kind of death we are in. Now see the process. We were in spiritual death. He came, went to the cross, died spiritually too. So when he was being quickened, he did not just die spiritually because he didn't sin. So he died our spiritual death. Remember, what sin was put on him? So he took our spiritual death, identified with us, that all of us now died together. So because all of us have now mixed up and died together, when he won the victory, all of us now mixed up and won the victory too. I don't get the point. Because he died as us, we rose as him. Should I say it again? Because he died as us, we rose as him. He died as us, we rose as him. He died as us, we rose as him. Glory to God. I say glory to God. So he won the victory for us. So he has triumphed over sin and death. We also have triumphed over death. So what that means is that no believer is ever subject to spiritual death. No believer can ever die spiritually. Hebrews 2:14. Look at it again. Hebrews 2:14. Glory to God. Glory to God. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same. What is the same there? He took part of flesh and blood, right? In other words, he became man, okay? That through death, he might destroy him that had the power of death. That is who. Now, why did he do all of that? Verse 15. That is the devil. And deliver them who through fear of death, you are all their lifetime subjects to bondage. So the reason he died spiritually is so that he can deliver us from the bondage we've been under all the while. So when we say Jesus won victory over death, we are also saying that we won victory over death. So no believer can ever die spiritually again. What that also means is that no believer can ever die eternally again. Can a believer die physically? Yes. Why? Because he's still in this flesh, okay? So one day this flesh is going to be removed. But that guy can die physically. Even that physical that I've taught you is still under his control. I hope you know. You know, death should not take you unawares. That's not for today.
So the believer can never die spiritually again. What it means is that the believer can never die eternally again. If the believer dies eternally again, it means Jesus did not win victory over eternal death. So he triumphed over death. Maybe I'm speaking too much big grammar. Okay, what it means is that no believer can ever go to hell again. Because going to hell or being eternally separated from God is what you call eternal death. So because Jesus went to hell for us and died eternal death, no believer can ever. If a believer ever goes to hell again, it is annulling what Jesus has done. So when he went to hell and conquered hell, he conquered hell for me. So if I ever go into hell, I am coming into hell as a conqueror. Pay attention. When he did die for you, did he die as me? Did he rise as me? If I enter into hell, hell recognizes me as one that once conquered it. You don't get the point. You know, he died for me, right? He died as me. As me. As me. He rose as me. Is that correct? So, he went to hell as me. Is that correct? He conquered hell. Is that correct? So, if I get into hell, who entered hell? He that once conquered hell has come. But I'd like you to get the picture. So, the believer can never be so spiritual and eternal death lost grip of the believer. Immediately, he got saved. The day Jesus was winning over spiritual death, over eternal death, he was winning it for you. You are winning it too. Say, I have victory. I have won. So there can be no eternal death for the believer again. There can be no spiritual death for the believer again. Because that day he died spiritually. He died as the believer. Him who knew no sin became sin for us. That day he died eternally. By right, he shouldn't die eternally. But he did. For me and as me. So when he rose too, he rose as me. Hallelujah. You know, it's amazing. People don't have a problem when we say that Jesus died for us and died as us. They say, yeah, that's the message. When we now say he rose for us, they say, that's right. When I say he rose as us, they say, oh, that's the correct. When we now say that since he can no longer die spiritually again or eternally again, we can never die eternally, then I say, no, that depends. What does it depend on? It depends on nothing. Hallelujah. When he died, I died. When he was buried, I was buried. When he rose, I rose. When he won, I won. Death has no power over him. Death has no power over me. Hallelujah. Ooh, glory to God. So, let me say this. That's what called identification. God will say, hallelujah. He has... the victory. Right? Because his victory is my victory. Think about it. Jesus never needed to win over spiritual death. He was never subject to it. Do you get the point? He became subject to it because of us. So, the same way death could not hold him down, death could not also hold me down. Spiritual death has lost me forever. Eternal death has lost me forever. I can never die spiritually. So when people look at themselves and say, we know, they come to church and say, we know we are all sinners. I say, no, speak for yourself. This guy right here is not a sinner. This guy right here is not subject to spiritual death. This guy right here has won over death. We are not all sinners. Amen. Are we all sinners? When he won, I won. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Some of you think that when it's time for us to go to heaven or go to hell, we're just going to get there and hell will be dragging you. Hell knows you. I used to tell you guys, I said to them, I've been to hell. Listen carefully. I have been to hell. I've been to hell. You say, wow, you had a vision of hell. That was not necessary. I went to hell. So where did you go to hell? When did Jesus sin? He didn't sin. He became sin. Do you understand it? So when did he go to hell? He became sin. He took my sin. Identified with me. So when he descended into hell, we all went now. When he won, we won. That's why you know for the Bible. I'll talk about that later. The Bible calls us more than conquerors. That's a very strong statement. More than conquerors. More than conquerors. Not a conqueror. More than conquerors. More than conquerors. Because we didn't have to conquer. He conquered for us. So we are more than conquerors. Are you following me, guys? So spiritual death. I just want to introduce you this night. Death. You see, spiritual death, going to hell, being a sinner, whatever, has no power over any believer. The last of my kind that went to hell came out victorious. If another of my kind goes there, he will also come out victorious. And that is an eternal truth that you should never get tired of. I can never go to hell. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So we are no longer, we can never be subject to spiritual death or eternal death. John 3 verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave, pay attention, his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. See verse 17. Look at the screen. For God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through him. Next verse, verse 18. He that believeth on him is not. That's what they write there. He is not. But he that believeth not is condemned already. If you don't believe in Jesus, you're already spiritually dead. You are condemned. Why? Not because he doesn't pray and fast, but because he had not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Now, verse 19. Everybody, let's do 1, 2, 3, go. That light is coming to the world, and men love darkness than light, because so a rejection of light, that is the light of the gospel, is condemnation. That's spiritual death. An acceptance of the light of the gospel is no condemnation. That's eternal life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. For God so loved the world that he gave to the Son, that whosoever believed in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Can we rephrase it to say, whosoever believed in him will not perish and will not come under everlasting death? Is that very correct? So can you die spiritually? Can you die eternally? Can you go to hell at all? Glory to God. Remember what eternal destruction is again. To be eternally banished from the presence of God. Can you ever be eternally banished from God's presence? He said, I will send you another comforter and he will stay with you forever. That presence, that Holy Ghost is there. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. A truth that will forever be the truth. Forever. So we can't die spiritually anymore. We can't die spiritually anymore. We can't die eternally anymore. No believer, I want to move on, but I want to say this. No believer can ever visit hell. You can only have a vision of it. You don't understand what eternal life is. He said you went to hell and you came back. Do you know what it means to carry life? Let me explain what it means. When you say, I went to hell, after staying there for some time, I entered into hell and I came out. Let me explain to you what I say. What you are saying is, I carried fire extinguisher into fire. And I came out. The fire will quench. See, eternal destruction is to be banished from God's presence. Our life is to carry God's presence. You cannot carry eternal life into hell, and hell will still remain hell. Like what I'm saying, I want you to settle in your mind. That's why there is a way. There is a way you see people like God. They say, "Death." Say, "What if you die now? If you die now, where will you spend the eternity?" You don't know. Where have I been spending my life on earth yet? In Him I live. In Him I move. In whom I have my being. What kind of question is that? What kind of question is that? Where will I spend my eternity? Where have I been spending my life yet? Where I am now is where I will be. Say amen. We can't die eternally. I told you, don't get tired of what I'm saying now. Don't ever get tired of it. The fact that Jesus won victory over spiritual death, He won victory over eternal death, and that victory became our victory. So we can boldly hit our chest and say, we can't die spiritually. We can't die eternally. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I say glory to God. The guys in the Bible were never afraid of dying spiritually or dying eternally. They were never afraid of going to hell. They were never. Even when John had a revelation in the whole book of John, when he was done, he got up, he completed the letter by saying, "Come, Lord Jesus." He was begging Jesus, "Please come. It's not, Father, wait, we are not ready." He said, "Come." So, are you rapturable? Let me ask these pastors. Are you rapturable? Are you rapturable? Glory. He said, "This is why I don't like coming to this kind of program." Amen. We are meant to be preparing men for eternity. That's what we are doing right here. There is a way to wait. Philippians 3 verse 20. Philippians 3 verse 20. Put up NLT. Okay, let's talk about King James. "For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also..." So we are looking for the coming of Jesus, but we are looking from somewhere. Do you understand? From where we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 21, everybody. 1, 2, 3, go. So we are actually waiting for something to happen when our body will be changed. But first of all, our conversation as we are talking now is in heaven. We are waiting from there. Do you understand? Should I say it again? Go back to that verse. NLT said, "We are citizens of heaven where the Lord Jesus Christ lives, and we are eagerly..." Put up Amplified. "We wait for Him to return. We are citizens of heaven. We are not going to be, but we are citizens of the state, commonwealth, homeland, which is in heaven. And from it..." From it. That's... Do you understand? We earnestly and patiently await. So are you waiting for Jesus to return? Yes. Where are you waiting from? From heaven. So, where will you spend your eternity? Where have been all the while? You see, eternity is a very simple mass to calculate. You think when Jesus will come, you will now say, "If you are rapturable, raise up your hand." He already knows. Glory to God. You cannot die eternally again. You cannot die eternally again. When He won the victory, it was your victory. When He won over death, it was your victory. When He won over death, it was your victory. We cannot die eternally again. We cannot die spiritually again. When He won, I won. Woo!
Ephesians 4 verse 8. Glory to God. Wherefore he said, when he ascended up on high, who is he talking about here? Jesus, right? He led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. So when he talks about when he ascended, he's talking about when he rose from the dead. He led captivity captives. What does this mean? What does this mean? He led captivities captive. When he ascended, when he rose from the dead, he led captivity. What about NLT of this? NLT of this. He led captivity. That is why the scripture says, when he ascended to the heights, he led a crowd of captives and gave gifts to his people. So look at what happened. Look at verse 9. Look at verse 9. When now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended into the... So he's talking about Christ and resurrection. That he first descended. After he descended, he now ascended. In his ascension, he led captivity captive. So it's like when someone goes to a battle, a king goes to a battle, and then he wins the battle, and then he now leads his captive. You understand? He led captivity. So he took a crowd of captives. Pay attention. Go back to verse 8 with NLT. When he ascended, he led a crowd of captives. So he went to a battle.
that battle was against spiritual death. And then he took captive everybody that was once captive under spiritual death, under spiritual death, right? Then he now led them captive. In other words, he took their captives. It's captive, and they now became his captives. Now, who is he talking about here? He's talking about you. We were slaves to spiritual death. When he rose, when he ascended, he led spiritual death. So he led captivity rather, captive. So all of us that we are in bondage to spiritual death, he led us. Normally, how it happens is, if I go to fight a battle and then I win, I'm supposed to, lead the guys I've captured from the battle, right? And take them as my slaves. And then I'm marching. I'm coming back. That's the picture here. I'm coming back. The slaves I captured that are following me, I'm showing off. But in this case, it wasn't just that he captured those slaves. He did not just capture those slaves to become his slaves. He captured those slaves to become his born children. Do you understand? So he now led them. So when he was coming back from the battle, that's what he's describing here after he rose from the dead. He led captivity. Do you understand it? The guys he has captured from the battle, who are now his slaves, or who are now his freeborn children. Is that correct? Now led them in a triumphant procession. He led captivity captive. Glory to God. Glory to God. So he liberated us from the shackles of death and led us in a procession. Now thanks be unto God, which always causeth us to triumph in Christ and maketh manifest the sum of his knowledge by us in every place. So God calls us to triumph. Okay, he makes us triumph. But there's a way message puts this place that is going to interest you. So before message, NLT please. NLT first. Hallelujah. But thank God, he has made us his captives and continues to lead us along in Christ triumphal. So that procession that started when he rose and is still going on. I'll touch that next tomorrow night. That procession is still going on. So when Jesus rose from the dead, he led us. So it's just like when he came out from the grave, he started walking. All of us that had been freed from spiritual death, his trophies that he won, he led us, and we're showing off. We're showing off. Look at how message put it. Message. He said, and I got it. So I got it. I got it. Thank God. In the Messiah, in Christ, God leads us from place to place in one perpetual victory parade. Do you understand it? In one perpetual victory parade. In one perpetual. So, Jesus did a parade after he won hell. Do you understand it? He had a show off, which is still ongoing to that. Touch that circumstance. He had a show off. But he wasn't the only one showing off. You have to show off the trophies that you won. What was the trophy that he won? You now, you are the one he liberated from the kingdom of darkness and translated it. Do you get the point? So there was a procession, a triumphal procession, a parade, a victory parade. He was going, showing forth as the victor. We were following him as men that have won too, and men that have been won by him. And so, you see why, let me go back to what I'm saying. You see why I told you that? You cannot go to hell. You see, when we're having that match, Satan was seeing us. Demons, all of us were in the procession. He knows his father. So all of us were in the procession. So when Jesus was showing forth that he has won, all of us were there, marching and showing. So we are in a victory parade. Another translation of this? Amplified, anyone? GNT says, thanks be to God, for in union with Christ, we are always led by God as prisoners in Christ's victory procession. So Jesus had his victory procession. We were the ones he was showcasing. But now, we're not just his prisoners, guys.
We are his sons. In a sense, we are his servants too. I'll touch that later. Maybe on Saturday night. In a sense, we're also his prisoners. In a sense. I'm going to touch that later.
He said, thanks be to God, who in Christ always leads us in triumph as trophies of Christ's victory. So when Jesus was on the dead, he was showcasing his trophy. Do you understand? It's just like, you know, when Messi wins Ballon d'Or, you know, and now comes back to Camp Nou. You understand? And he's now showing the stuff to everybody. Do you understand what I'm saying? Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Yeah, he's now showing, it doesn't matter what you believe, he's now showing everybody the trophy that he has won. Do you understand? When Jesus finished with spiritual death, he had to showcase the trophies he has won. He was showcasing you. Hallelujah. So, has Jesus won over spiritual death? Yes. Did I win too? In fact, what is the proof that he won over spiritual death? Glory to God. So we are in this parade. So when he won, we won. His victory was our victory. So if you ask again, so are you saying a believer cannot go to hell? Now, can Jesus go to hell? Ask hell the last time he came. Amen. They are not done telling the story. This I'm telling you is that even if a believer wants to go to hell, hell itself will reject the believer. The last time your kind was here. Do you understand? The last time your kind was here, we did not find it funny. Go to your heaven. I'm saying your own has finished. Even hell rejected you. If even hell, you are so rejected that even hell, that you have said to other people, he rejected you. Even death say doesn't want you. What a miserable life. Even death rejected you. When he won, I won. Listen, guys, Jesus won over spiritual death. He won over that. His victory was my victory. So there's a way to leave this place as a trophy of Christ's victory. I cannot die spiritually. We cannot die spiritually. So are you afraid of hell? Not anymore. Are you afraid of dying spiritually? Not anymore. Are you afraid of being condemned eternally? Not anymore. What of agony of hell? Not anymore. What of the fires of hell? Not anymore. Not anymore. Not anymore.
In the morning that you rose, all of heaven held its breath till the stone was moved for good.
Church of Christ was born, and the Spirit made a flame. And this God who through the world shall not fail.
the Father.
Praise the Father.
Praise the Son.
Praise the Son.
Praise the Spirit.
Going to close tonight. So media, get the song on the screen,
the full stanzas, get it on the screen, and that's how we're going to close this night. You see, when we talk about Christ's resurrection, we're talking about victory. We are talking about his victory over death. When he won, I won. When he died, I died. When he was buried, I was buried. When he rose, I rose. Death cannot hold him. Death no fit hold this guy. Hallelujah. 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 The guy spent time 3 days in hell. Hell is still telling the story. Hallelujah. And the victory he won was for me. In the darkness, we are waiting.
Without hope.
Sin, victory over the flesh, victory over Satan. But what I shared with you this night is the foundation, something that should never leave your head. That's where being born again makes sense. So if I'm born again and you are sure, now think about it, how much sense would it make to be saved if we are not even sure of anything? Have you thought about it? We are not sure. Some of you are, before you came to this meeting, you knew you were saved, but you are not sure you are going to go to heaven. You are still scared of hell. What kind of salvation is that? What's your guarantee? Where's your joy coming from? Can't you see the kind of joy in this atmosphere? You need to know. You need to know. Hallelujah. So I know. I'm saved. Eternally, I'm saved. You see, what I preach tonight is eternal salvation. Without mentioning it. Do you understand? It is once saved, forever saved, without mentioning it. Do you understand? That message they've been telling you to run away from, that's what I preach tonight. Without saying it. I'm saved forever.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God.
I'm saved forever. And that's why we celebrate salvation like every other thing. Like any other thing. We celebrate it because we know this particular thing was the game changer. It changed everything. It changed everything. Hallelujah.
Maybe I'll just share this with you then. If the message is not ready, we'll just go from there.
Let me share this. You know, when in the Old Testament, they told them to, you know, that what I'm going to do tonight is they should put blood. You know blood? The blood of the animal that they kill or whatever at the doorpost. Why? When death is passing. Do you understand? Death will not get into those families or into those rooms where the blood has been put. So what is the significance of that blood there? The blood there is to show that somebody has died for this household. Right? So once that blood is there, death cannot have power over that particular family. Can I announce to you, when you came into Christ, you are marked. What is that mark? You say it with his blood. Well, that's correct. But you are marked with his life. Or can we say, you are marked by his spirit. That spirit is the guarantee that nothing can ever happen to you. Are you getting the point? Sam saved. So let's take that song again, everybody. We're going to sing it together.
I want to hear your voice.
Without hope, without life, till from heaven you came running. There was mercy in your eyes.
Yes.
To fulfill the Lord and prophet, to the magic in the world.
Yes.
From the throne of endless glory to a God in the land.
Praise the Father.
Yes.
Praise us, Father. Praise us, we living one. God of glory, majesty. Praise forever to the King of kings.
To reveal the kingdom.
Yes.
Unified by the blood.
Yes.
For even in your suffering, you stand to the other side. Knowing this was our salvation, Jesus for our sake you died.
So praise the Father.
Praise the Father.
Hey.
Your heart,
come on. morning that you will sing it. And the morning
that he rose, all of the heavens stood in awe.
Till the storm was to fall.
Yes.
For the Lamb. The Lamb of that death.
And the dead rose from their tomb. Yes. Yes.
Beat one last time. One last time. I want to hear your own voice.
Praise the Father.
For more information, inquiry, or prayer request, please visit our website at www.henryonyedikachi.com.